Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Hi, and welcome to the MGM Show on the Ear to the Ground Sports Network, the unsung sports grid. I'm Galen, joined by my good friends and co-hosts, Mike, MJ. It is Wednesday, October 20th at 8 o'clock p.m. That's Eastern Time. We're coming to you live from Block Talk Radio on this October evening. Fellas, how's it going? Another Wednesday in the books. How's everybody doing?
What's up? What's up? Doing great, man. How you doing? Great week for us. How you doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing okay. Had a little bit of a family obligation this morning. Kind of a little unsettling, you know. We spent the morning and stuff like that for the little guy out in Boston Children's Hospital. Thankfully, you know, everything checked out a-okay. You know, it was quite the interesting morning / day. So that was pretty much consisted of my Wednesday. How you guys doing?
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Is
he all right? You said he's all right, right?
Yeah, he came out all right. You know, he had a little bit of a minor procedure, but, you know, we knew this was coming. And at 7 years old, soon to be 8 years old come Friday, big shout out to my man Kay. But he just handled it like a champ, you know, and we got this thing, right? You know, I just let you guys in on a little family secret, but we got this thing that I started a while back with him, and it consists of, obviously, you know, post you know, the procedure and stuff like that, being under meditation, but we got this little snap and pointing at the face that we do just all around the house, sometimes out in the go in public, you know. And when we got brought in to see how we made out post procedure, it took him a little while. It seemed like he was still kind of overcome by the medicine and stuff like that. And I was just hoping, you know, kind of praying to myself just to have him show some sort of semblance, you know what I mean? That, like, hey, I'm okay. I made it through, you know. You know, I just rolled with the punches type deal. So, you know, I was hoping for some sort of sign or just something that he would give both myself and more so his mom, you know, just because as soon as we seen him, we're like, wow, like, you know, like, is he okay? You know, but he's just like kind of looking into space and stuff like that. And wouldn't you know, all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, I didn't tip him off or anything like that. He didn't even say anything, but he looked me dead in my eye and just snapped his finger and pointed in the face like, hey, I'm okay. Like, you know, that was his way of communicating, and it meant the world to me, you know. So it was cool, you know, and now he's slowly but surely starting to find himself, of, you know, hours later. So that consisted of my Wednesday, not to hog too much time off the top. But how you guys doing? Everything was all right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Mike,
like I always say, another day above the ground is it's a better day for us.
Absolutely.
Just thank God, and you know.
Absolutely.
Another business, you know, my days are always fulfilling. You know, I got to the gym with this morning. I'm going, like I told you, I've been going with my daughter, taking her to the gym because she wanted to do some working out and all. So, you know,
That's me.
I trained with you. I trained with a few people. So now I'm, you know, taking her to the gym a couple of days a week. So today was, you know, good bonding time for us, you know, getting closer. That's my lady. So went to the gym with her early this morning. Of course, running my errands, doing what we got to do. Always staying busy, man. Always staying busy. Always staying fit. Just always on top of my game, man.
That's what's up. All right. Well, we have quite the agenda for tonight's show. A lot of craziness, especially in the baseball world. We'll be getting to that in a matter of a moment or so. But Mike, first, before we do so, can you kick us off with tonight's starting lineup, please?
Yes, today's Wednesday, as we do our MGM show, ladies and gentlemen, 10-20-21. The Red Sox Astros are still all knotted up at two games apiece. How special a performance offensively has it been in Major League history? As we know, the bats have been going crazy. Patriots, Cowboys go down to the wire, but in the end, New England falls short. Has the NFL caught up with the juggernaut that has been known as the Chiefs? Wow, story out there, huh? And then we're going to NFL, and that is the Notorious Football League recap for week 6 in the Notorious.
Yes, and for all you listening audience out there, I'm sure you guys are out there by the bunches. Just with that little tease, that was obviously, you know, pre-written just hours before, you know, everything started playing out the way it did. But officially, we are still all knotted up at 2 games apiece, not looking so hot right now. Guys, quite a change of the guard, you know, between the Red Sox and the Astros here. I just want to get everybody's opinion. I mean, you could not just even come close to slowing these guys down through the first, what, you know, I want to say 2-plus games between games 2 and 3 there, you know, respectively. I mean, you had media, you know, both locally and nationally. I mean, people just all throughout, you know, just really kind of praising the Red Sox, giving them their flowers and stuff like that, pretty much presuming, I mean, predicting that this series was all but over. This was all going into last night's game 4, and it was a tight game all the way up to the 9th inning. And then, I mean, I'm sure by now everybody's seen what played out as they end up losing, going away 9-2, and they're down once again right now, and it looks like now we're going to be heading back to Houston, down 2-3, and obviously best out of 7, so Red Sox are going to need to take both games 6 and 7 out there. Houston has, you know, 2 opportunities to get a single W. You know, so certainly just the favor and the advantage is completely swung in the other direction. But I just want to, you know, get, you know, you guys' opinion on the series and what you think. But do you think in any way, Mike, I guess I'll start with you. I mean, it's crazy, right? We've seen the Red Sox go from hot to cold mid-series. Who is to blame? Do you blame Cora at all? Do you blame the pitching just failing them, the offense suddenly,
you know,
going quiet?
You know,
what do you think?
I'm always, you know, a guy when I talk sports or how sports are played, I always talk momentum and swing and motivation and how you're, you know, the managers in baseball's case or coaches in football case to motivate their teams to excel or to do well. Baseball is a different type of a sport, as we know. It's more of a chess game. You're more it does, you know, you do get in hot hitting streaks. You know, pitching can be up and down, but yeah, hitting does come in streaks. But it's a chess played by managers as well. And we heard, you know, the controversy, I think it was game 2, you know, are we tipping off our pitches, yada, yada. You know, it's a little ironic that Houston accused somebody else of doing something unethical, you know, LOL there. But I don't think that you would – I would use the word blame, you know. It's still the same Red Sox team. It's still the same, you know, concept that worked to get to this point in the playoffs. Houston's just a juggernaut. Houston is just – It's got some great players, Altuve and Brantley, Bregman and Siri. I mean, those bats are getting hot. I don't think either team's pitching is anything to be scared of, to be honest with you. I think it's just hot bats at the right time. And when we say hot bats, we're talking home runs. We're talking doubles. We're talking – they're smashing the ball. I mean, they're knocking the cover off the ball. So it's a combination of hot bats at the right time. It's also a combination of, I don't think the Red Sox are going cold. I don't think that this series is over. We later on wanted to touch on, you know, is the season still magical? Well, in my opinion, you know, the season's still not over. And when you talk about you know, we talked last week about predicting who we thought would win or whatever, and I put all these stats in front of you as to why Houston was the better team, you know, from top to bottom, why they were the better team, but I still picked Boston to win. And so when you ask if the season's magical, I go and say, well, the season's not over. It could still be magical. And if anyone could go and do it, it would be this team. Now, am I saying they can? No. The numbers are still stacked against them. Houston's bats are hot. Their manager, Dusty Baker, is outplaying him in chess right now. And everything favors Houston. But to continue with, and I guess I am going to still answer the next question, to continue on with your magical season, I believe this team has a chance, and, you know, a 25% chance is still a chance to go down there and possibly at least extend in 7 games. And if it goes 7 games, it's anybody's theory. So I don't want to say blame because it's not over. I don't want to point the finger at anybody as if anything has been done wrong. I think it's a matter of streak, timing, and just timing, to be honest. It is what it is, and it's not over. I mean, the series is realistically not over.
Okay. MJ?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously we've seen this before. I don't know, we were up 2-1 just last night, and, you know, we had a good chance to go up, and we can all argue, well, as Diaz's strike zone, how we want to visualize it, how we want to, you know, see how he sees balls and strikes. But that's the name of the game. That's the game that people love. That's baseball. You know, umpires, you only know an umpire's name unless he sucks. Like, you never know a good umpire's name. That's just, Laz Diaz's strike zone yesterday was abysmal. But that's not the case. We didn't put enough runs up yesterday to win the game as Red Sox fans. I'm saying we. I'm obviously talking for myself. But the Red Sox had a chance today, an early game. They had a chance to kind of get off the schneid and go into today's game with one of their best pitchers. Yes, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. Get this 3-2 lead going into Houston. And it doesn't look like, as of now, I've seen crazier things. If you think about Game 5 in the 2008 ALCS, when we were down 7 runs, we won 8-7 in that game. So, I mean, anything can happen. But at this point in time, it looks like we're going to go back down to Houston, down 3-2. And we're going to have to kind of, you know, back against the wall, and we're going to have to do this. So I'm worried at this point because 2 days ago I was, you know, the sky was clear and everything was working right for our Red Sox. But right now it doesn't look good. The Red Sox pitching needs a lead to actually perform. It seems as though, like, the last games 2 and 3, you know, we had grand slams right off the bat. And we scored 12-3 in game three, and then scored 9-5 in game, I think my headphones off, and we scored 9 runs in game two. This team has the ability to score. This team has the ability to one up that pitching competition. And the thing is, our pitching is not relevant enough, and it's not well equipped to actually do what they need to do. They can't keep up with that Astros lineup. That Astros lineup, I knew it would happen eventually. Altuve, Bregman, Correa, Gurriel, these guys, they've been there. They've been there before. They've been to 2 World Series the last 4 years. And
don't forget the
I'm definitely nervous, five straight ALCS,
you know, don't forget that. That's
Okay,
go ahead, finish up.
Sorry, I was distracted by something, sorry about that. No, go ahead. No, I'm done guys, sorry.
Okay. So yeah, just real quick, I just want to ask you, did you guys see anything that the Red Sox could have done better, you know, so between both last night and again today? MJ, I want to throw it back to you. Did you agree, even though obviously you had a guy like Garrett Whitlock that was well-rested going into last night's game, did you agree, just insist on throwing him that second inning when clearly Cora hasn't been at all afraid to mix and match and really kind of just line them up and run them out there, you know? Do you think that that was a bit of a stretch? And to that, I did hear a great point by Maserati, Tony Maserati on the Felber and Maz show. But, you know, Maz had said something, hey, if you can get 9 outs out of Chris Sale tonight, basically one turn through the starting lineup, you know, you can get 3 innings out of Chris Sale some way, somehow, especially after last night's debacle, you got to take that and run. And clearly, they basically got that from Chris Sale, but the part that didn't happen is he didn't take that and run, you know? He didn't take that performance and run. Instead, he leaves Sale in there until the sixth inning, ends up going 5 1/3, but in the meantime, the damage was well on its way of playing out. That was the time to maybe not throw in Whitlock, but again, just go to the bullpen, maybe like an inning or two sooner. And if that is the case, they probably don't get to him. And then obviously set you back with such a huge hole. I mean, he went from just out coaching and running circles around Dusty Baker there.
Dusty Baker.
To now the script being flipped, you know, from a managerial standpoint. I mean, can we make a case easily for overmanaging these last couple of games? What do you think?
No, I think Alex Cora actually managed last night's game perfectly well. Like, he did everything he could. Obviously, you want Pivetta to go an extra inning, but we've seen this before in Red Sox history, not, you know, just baseball history. Obviously, we saw what happened with Blake Snell last year in the World Series in Game 6 and how they took him out too early, and then the Rays ended up losing that series to the Dodgers. And we saw what happened with Grady Little and Pedro. So it's kind of – there's a fine line where you can actually keep a pitcher in there and you look like a genius, or if you leave a pitcher in there too long, you look like a moron. You should have taken him out early. But if you take him out too early and you give up runs, then you look like an idiot. You should have left him in. So there's really no winning for Alex Cora at this point, because either way – he's either a winner or a loser, and that right now he looks like a loser, especially now with how the game's going out. It's 7-1 in the top of the ninth. You got to score 6 runs bottom of the ninth, which is, you know, obviously the Red Sox have shown they can do it the last few games, but I don't anticipate that. I think Alex Cora definitely managed this game, has been managing the series very well. Getting his guys rallied around his pitching changes have come at the right time when it comes to his starters. Like, Garrett Whitlock was in there in game 2, pitched very well. Darwinson Hernandez in game 3, I don't want to see him again in the series if I could help it.
I said he already pitched today, and go figure, he didn't let up any runs.
And
he didn't let anything up.
He didn't let anything up, but I would never trust him again. Like, honestly, especially now, if we go down to Houston down 3-2, then it's all Sales. Like, I don't want this guy in the, you know, each game is game 7, essentially. So,
yeah,
anyways.
Absolutely.
I don't mind what Alex Cora has done. Like, Alex Cora has actually got him to this point. So what? Anything that's less, if we don't make the World Series, it's gonna suck because we've gotten to this point. And we kind of, once you get to this point, you kind of like, all right, you put this thought in your head, that we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there, especially all the talk around the town. You know, the town gets buzzing. If you're from the Massachusetts area, whenever your team gets close and closer to the championship round, the town gets buzzing. You know, whether it's Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, Super Bowls, World Series, everything's buzzing. So right now, a lot of people are kind of anticipating. They were, you know, 24 hours ago, we were anticipating us going to the World Series because we thought we were going to close this out tonight. And obviously, it didn't work out. So, but Alex Cora didn't do anything wrong. He actually catapulted this team to this point. He wasn't here a year ago. Ron Renicki was the manager. The team looked like they were dead in their waters. The team was horrible. The team was constructed horribly. These new guys, Kiki Hernandez, Hunter Renfro, you name it. I can't even think. Kyle Schwarber. These guys were brought in. They bought into the Alex Cora effect. And if we lose this series, if the Red Sox lose this series somehow, some way, after blowing a 2-1 lead, it's going to suck because you thought you had it. You thought you had it. You thought you had that. You had all the ingredients to win this year, but it's definitely not a disappointment to me, I think, because we weren't expected to be this far. You know, 2 months ago, we thought it was over. We thought, hey, they all gave up. No one cares. But if you get to, you know, you got to this point, obviously you want to see them fight the next two games and get to that, you know, that pinnacle you want. But Alex Cora is not the problem here. It's essentially it's pitching and hitting coinciding with each other. I feel as though one does one thing and the other does another. Pitching kind of works off what the hitting does. Hitting hits two grand slams and they feel better. Hitting doesn't do anything and the pitching doesn't know what to do with themselves because they don't have a lead to work off of. So it's been a weird last couple nights.
You're listening to the MGM Show on the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. We're talking ALCS Game 5. Give us a call, 516-387-1702. Again, that number is 516-387-1702. We're also going to be looking to transition over to football, Patriots, Cowboys in just a few minutes. So if you got any thoughts there, you know, hold your calls. We're just finishing up with the ALCS Game 5. Mike, what about you? Is there any blame pie to go around, you know, that you think is warranted? Do you think they could have done anything differently from a coaching/managerial standpoint, timely hitting/pitching? What are your thoughts?
You know, I mean, listen, if you lose the series, you're losing to a better team. You're losing to a more talented lineup 1-9, okay, and a little better pitching. Like I said, I don't think either pitching's scary, but better pitching, you know, in a better lineup. So you're not going – and an amazing Hall of Fame manager, I mean, and Dusty Baker. So, no, I mean, and Alex Cora, I've never had enough good things to say about Alex Cora, so I'm not going to continue my rant about him. I think he's an amazing manager, and if he makes mistakes or, you know, if he's made mistakes, so be it. I mean, he's not done anything that stand out or going to jump out at you or causing them the series. They're not losing the games by, you know, misrunning, or they're not losing the game by, you know, they're losing by pitching, I guess, but that's because of the batters, not because of you can't put in the right pitcher. They don't have the right pitcher. He's not on their roster. They don't have him. He doesn't exist in Boston uniform. So to be up and to get up in a series was an epiphany. It wasn't supposed to happen. It was you were ahead of the game. And that's what, you know, and MJ talked about how the city gets buzzing. Well, that's what, you know, New Englanders do. They go up and down like an EKG machine with their teams, you know. So I remember when the season started, New England fans didn't pretty much vote off the Red Sox before game one. And then when they did their climb and came out hot, everybody was yay, yay, World Series. Then they did their little dip and everybody falls off. You know, I've been consistent with this team. I think this team is playing exactly where I thought they would be playing, with an opportunity to play for the World Series. If they don't get there, I don't think it's a letdown. I don't think you can point the finger, as I said earlier, at absolutely anyone on that lineup, except the pitching. The Red Sox need pitching. That is, you know, they need pitching going into the season. They need a pitcher at the trade deadline. They need pitching before the playoffs, and they need pitching today because of lineups like the Yankees and lineups like the Astros. So you point the finger. You point the finger at, you know, the hierarchy and the higher-ups before the season started. And as I said, throughout the season and into the playoffs, when you knew that you needed to get an ace or two. So as far as the series go, do I point the finger at no one? No. I think the Red Sox are doing exactly the best they can do with what they have. Now, I'm not
ready. They overexceeded.
Yeah, absolutely.
They overexceeded expectations.
Yeah, they did. And I'm not, and I'm still not writing them off. I'm still not, because I've seen this organization create.
There was a team, it's called 2004
miracles.
Red Sox.
Miracles.
They did it before.
We've seen this team create miracles, so I'm not writing the team off. But like I said, like MJ just said, they have overexceeded for the season. So, no, I'm not disappointed. And, no, I don't think there's anything they could have done better with what they've had on their roster. They could have had a better roster. Not the bats, but the pitchers.
Oh, I agree with that 1,000%. So since
you guys want an update, it's 7-1, top of the ninth, Houston still. If you guys want some Bruins and Celtics updates, I can give you that too.
Hold off on that. We'll incorporate them throughout the show in a little bit. But since obviously we've been touching on Cora, I just gotta get both of you guys' thoughts again here. Mike, I'm gonna start with you. Did you happen to see that little kind of slapping on the wrist between him and Eduardo Rodriguez when Rodriguez had returned the favor to Carlos Correa about this is my time, with the whole watch and stuff like that, pointing at his hand coming back to the dugout. Do you agree? And do you think it was clearly understood? It seemed like it was well reciprocated, post game and stuff like that when talking to Rodriguez. But I feel like, that in itself is a sign like no other of just how much he has the attention of this team and the respect out of this team, where he could go ahead and shut something like that down mid-game, whether, it's legitimate or not, and just kind of rise above that and be like, hey, listen, we're better than that. Not here. That's not us. That's not how we do things.
What leaders do. He's a bona fide leader, and that's what the leaders do, and all due respect with that. Like I say, there's always looking for the negative or the rumors in the hearsay. We're talking baseball and just the game itself. So leaders do that. They quiet down all the garbage and all the side notes and all the asterisks, and that's the sign of a good leader. So, I don't want to touch and dig deep on that type of stuff because that's just, to me, not anything to the game.
I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You think it was a good thing he did the time thing, or you think it's a bad thing?
No. In terms of him talking,
shutting it down
to Eduardo, in terms of talking to Eduardo Rodriguez in returning to the dugout and just totally nipping in the butt mid game.
Not now.
Good.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And what about you, MJ?
Excuse me, I was coughing. No, I thought it was – I think, like Carlos Correa said, too, yesterday, he said, hey, he loved it. That's what the game needs. I think we saw this whole past year, the last couple of years, that the guys like Fernando Tatis, Otani, these guys have become, superstars. They love the bat flips. They love the showmanship. They love the – it's becoming kind of something that you see in the NBA. Not as extravagant as you see with LeBron and Steph, but at the same time, people are liking kids are loving Tatis. They're loving the bat flips from Acuña. They're loving the bat, the Devers, the Bogarts of the world, like stuff like that. The Correa, like doing the time, that was cool when he first did it because he's like, it's my time. And then when Rodriguez did it, he's like, hey, it's my time. The fact that Cora did kind of called them out saying, don't do that. We don't do that. What do you do, Alex? Like, that's the only thing I'm trying to figure out. So, like, I feel as though like that's where the game is going. Like, what I think it's just
we put
Carlos Correa
in
and Alex, Carlos Correa and Alex Cora
run.
Are good friends. They're good friends, so I guess I get that part of it. but at the same time, I think it's fine in my eyes. I think what Rodriguez does, what Correa does, what all these guys do, it makes the game better. And to make it more so, like, no, nonchalant, he's trying to be more like Bill Belichick in the baseball world, which is what baseball needs to get away from. They need to get so far from the Belichick style, because that's what makes the game so unwatchable and so boring at times. So you want those guys that kind of have that personality that does things like that, reciprocates. Like, if you remember the 2003 ALCS, those guys were loaded in the head. Those guys were loaded in the head. All those guys hated each other. Like, you're not going to get that kind of hatred for these, you know, on these series as it once was. But at the same time, they had something. There was some spice to the series. We don't have that right now. E-Rod kind of tries to do the same thing, and Alex says, "No, we don't do that." Like, then what do we do, Alex? Like, let's have fun.
Yeah. Okay.
We put people in shopping carts when they hit home runs.
Well,
they're down 9-1 now. If you want to know something, yeah. They're down 9-1 as well. So
to each his own. I mean, that's what we're here for. An opinion's an opinion. I'm kind of siding with Mike.
No, my opinion's right. Yours are wrong. Just kidding.
I'm siding with Mike this one here. I thought it was both good in terms of the moment, return the favor. But as soon as, you know, you get back to the dugout, it's back to reality. Hey, you know, let's rise above that. Let's be better.
He wasn't in the dugout.
Entertain and stuff
he
like
was
that.
Still
you,
in
well,
the...
he, no, he was returning
yeah.
to the
he
dugout.
He was walking towards the dugout. He wasn't in that dugout yet. Once I got in there, then yes, okay. But
yeah, that's what I was talking about. But anyway, but yeah, I at the end of the day, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, it is, I think, a key and major sign of a well-respected sort of clubhouse between manager and players and vice versa. And I think as long as you have that and they're in tune, they're engaged or whatever, now all you got to do is just build it. You know, continuing to just make the necessary signings, trades, develop from the farm system, and you're on your way. And I think the Red Sox are going to be fast-tracked before, a lot of people probably expected after this run. But real quick, before we switch it up to football, just, you know, I got to get your thoughts real quick. If they happen to go ahead and lose this between now and between 6 or possible game 7 out in Houston, would you consider this playoff run a success, yes or no? MJ, I'm starting with you.
A success?
Yes.
Yeah, I would never – anything less than a championship is never – you can ask any player and ask any team, whether the Detroit Lions or the Kansas City Royals or the Pittsburgh Pirates – Any season less than a championship, like if you honestly ask them, they're not going to say it's a success. But I would consider this a success. I think from what we came all the way back in late March, early April, after that whole sweep against the Orioles, and, you know, you heard Matt McCarthy on 98.5 going off on them, like, get them off my TV, get them off. And then that they come this far to kind of show people that, hey, we're relevant. We're still here. People were, you know, especially in the city of Boston, which is so near and sports are so near and dear to our heart. And we saw teams like the Celtics kind of mail it in at the time, and they kind of got into the play-in game. And, you know, we knew they were going to lose the Nets in the first round. And you saw the Bruins kind of make a run, but they couldn't get past the Islanders. And the Patriots made all these moves, but now you see them not really, you know, it's not coming to fruition as soon as we had hoped it would. The Red Sox were kind of that shining light in our lives, and the Red Sox kind of said, "Hey, we're still here, and we're still going to try to make this season, you know, special. We're going to still make this season special." And for the last, after that Yankee playing game, people believed, and they weren't not after that just that one game, but people were believing, you know, throughout the season. People were going to games. People were kind of – and then that one-game playoff, you saw the stadium was erupting. because it was a playoff game. And again, of course, it was against the Yankees, you know, our hated rival. And then we got to the Rays, and then we took them out, and it was special. It was special. Boston loves winners, and we want to see a World Series championship. Game's not over, you know. The series is not over, obviously. But if we can, if somehow, some way, the Astros go to, you know, they win the series, it's not a failure. Like I think this is a one special case where you kind of overstepped your boundaries at this point in a good way,
yeah.
And you kind of overexceeded your expectations. And I love it. I love it that they did that.
Absolutely.
No, it's not something. Yeah.
I agree, Mike.
No, not a success at all. Because there you go. See, this is what you guys do. This is what you Englanders do. It's not a success. A success is if you if you overcome an injury and you get on the field from a major injury, that's a success, okay? But to say, oh, you thought we suck, but we showed you that we're okay, because you didn't win the division, you didn't win 100 games, okay? You did make the playoffs in a playout with the Yankees. You beat the Yankees. That was a good season. Was it a success? It wasn't a success. Anything less than a championship is not a success, because every team plays for the same thing, the championship, and only one team can win that. So even if you make it to the championship and lose, you still didn't have a successful season. So you use the word success. No, this is where we come around and start talking about everybody gets a trophy. Nobody remembers second place. No one remembers that. So in the end, no, you thought we were going to be a much worse team than we turned out to be. So we had a good season. We had a better season than anticipated. And we had an exciting, fun season, and we got the fans riled up, and we had a great opportunity and a great chance. All that's true. But success means you won it all. So until they win it all, if they don't, then no, it's not a success. It's not a devastating, horrible season. It's not an end-all, we got to rebuild season. It was a good year. It was a fun season. But success, no, I don't want to use the word success. But it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a failure either.
But the thing is, define success. Hey. Like, think about when you use the word success. Like, when people say, oh, you have a successful career. Like, have you success and all in – it's not really something that you have to win it all. You just have to be a success. You have to earn something.
Career.
You have to kind of
successful career because you're not going to win it all. In a successful career is a career that you enjoy, a career that's financially benefit to take care of all the things that you wish to choose and have. Every athlete has a successful career. But in the end, you ask any and every athlete what is their goal, and there is to be champion, to be crowned champion. That is successful to any athlete and anyone who has played any sport in the end. So to have a good season, yeah, they've having a good season, but they're not. The success is their goal is still there, so they won't be disappointed if they're eliminated. They won't be disappointed. They're gonna say, "Oh, it's okay, we got this far." Go into the locker room. They're not gonna see one person say that. You're gonna see disappointment, tears, and upset. And the further you go, and the closer you get to that successful championship, the bigger the disappointment when you don't grab it. So they, as they said, they're gonna have a great year. They're having a good year, a great year, a fun year. A very productive year. Success, in my standards, no. Because only because it's sports. In sports, success is the championship. Now, if you have the Olympics and you have three medals, that's a different type of success. Yeah, you're successful because you got the bronze. You're successful because you got the silver. And you're successful if you got the gold. But in hockey, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball, there's only one championship. So in my opinion,
I think great and successful are kind of different too.
But does it mean disappointing?
Like,
just because you didn't have a successful season doesn't mean you had a disappointing season though either. So I don't want to say it has to be either or. You use the word successful.
This is the MGM Show with Damon and Mike. We are coming to you live from the East Coast on the E2G Sports Network. It is 8:39 Eastern Time. Here tonight, switching gears. But before I do that, Mike, I just want to say something. Just take a slight little jab. Yeah, the Red Sox hit a win 100 wins, and I guess you can consider that in your eyes a success. But they did beat just last round 100 win baseball team in the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, they did.
But hey, gotta take the good with the bad, you know, at least lately, you know, regarding the Red Sox, obviously our baseball team. But we had just that both in this past Sunday's game between the New England Patriots and America's football team, the Dallas Cowboys. It was both good and bad, all in the same game, if you're a Patriots, and that is. Oh, man. What a game. Mike, I saw your post, you know, late that night. I tend to agree. It was a crazy game. A lot of fireworks, especially if you're a Patriots fan, that is. Dallas, I mean, they've been pretty much rolling with the punches, getting the job done more often than not this season, looking really good, both offensively and defensively. New England has been struggling pretty much week after week offensively. But in this game, against a very good defense thus far, at least anyway, they nearly, you know, put up 30 points. You know, they lost 35-29, but Mac Jones, I'd have to say, you know, arguably had his best game statistically so far in the early young season. There was a Damian Harris sighting this week, you know, clipping the century mark, and he happened also get into the end zone. There was a Kendrick Bourne sighting, whether it was a broken play, call it what you will, but he got in from 75 yards out. There's still no Jacoby Myers touchdown thus far
almost,
in his career.
Almost. He had a touchdown,
almost,
but the referee
he almost,
decided
but
to
of
pull
course,
Alaz Diaz and says, hey,
yep.
Yeah, call that back because this guy will never get a touchdown. I'm convinced Jacoby Myers will never get a touchdown.
Yeah, he's cursed.
I'm like, come on.
That's exactly my point for saying what I said, because he almost got there, but, of course, with his luck, it was called back. And, then of course, on the flip side, you got CeeDee Lamb doing CeeDee Lamb things.
I got him.
You know, he grabbed – nine balls for 149 yards, two touchdowns, another sighting by Schultz, the tight end, catching 5-for-79, and of course, you know, there was Dak Prescott, 445 yards,
three touchdowns. Was there a flag for his taunting at the end of the game? I find that no one has talked about that. He was taunting. Isn't that taunting when you wave at somebody? That's taunting,
yeah,
right?
It is, but what are you going to do?
I mean, obviously,
kinda,
at that point, it's
to what you were just saying. They were having fun, right? That's how I took it.
NFL rules, they changed, right?
They're no fun league. Exactly.
Yeah. So at this point, like, CD was sitting there. I would have punched him.
Okay, so listen.
Face.
So listen.
I'll punch you. No, my God, Mike. I don't want to hear your cowboyness. I'll buy you
First of all, clowns like MJ, he's just a clown. Sometimes you don't listen to clowns.
I'm a clown.
They speak from their heart, but they don't use their brain.
They speak, okay.
So, you know, we're going to talk brains.
Oh, my God, I am ready, Mike.
Here's the issue with New England fans, okay? Here we go.
Oh, I'm ready.
The problem isn't the game. All year, we waited for this game.
Hey,
here's where I am from the game.
Come at
MJ. I got something to say. MJ, that's you being put in timeout. Go ahead, Mike.
So anyway, listen, here you go. Here's my perspective from this game as a whole. Looking at the Cowboys, you know, as this season and watching them, you know, watching every single game, they're a good team. They have a lot of holes that I see that they have in them. And one of them is, you know, the penalties. They shoot themselves in the foot consistently, all right? defensively, they have weaknesses. Yeah, I understand that my man Tyron Diggs is a phenom, and I understand Randy Gregory and the names that we're hearing over there, right? But they also have a lot of holes over there in the secondary. I have a couple of holes. I don't like the safety. I don't like the other corner on the other side, all right? As you see, he got beat later on a 75-yard touchdown bomb, okay? The feeling comes from when you have a team that has over 100 yards in penalties, okay, that kept consistently shooting themselves in the foot, that turned over the ball a couple of times, that was stuffed on third and one a couple of times, you know, that did everything possible to lose the game, you know, to a team with this type of persona in Foxborough Stadium with that crowd. To come out of there with the victory is the only smile as a Cowboy fan and a realist that I can actually bring to the table. I see that they won. This team would not have won last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. This team would not have won underneath with the Tony Romo regime. It wouldn't have won under Coach Clapper, Jason Garrett. Okay, it didn't have the creativity. It didn't have the resolve. It didn't have the tenacity. It didn't have, you know, the kahunas to do it. To go into Foxborough and to play poorly, because, yeah, there were a lot of great moments. It was an up-and-down game. This team didn't put this Patriot team away, and I'm going to get to the Patriots in a minute. But to talk about Dallas first, this team didn't have Super Bowl-caliber style team. This team didn't have championship-level play, in my opinion. Okay, I would love the offensive line play. I did like what Zeke and Paula did, averaging over 4 yards a carry. I did like what CeeDee Lamb did. He's a beast. I did like what Ty Diggs did. Now, when you think of it, I'm sorry, Tayshaun Diggs, but when you think about it, these guys are athletes. The Cowboys have great athletes. They have a very good offensive coordinator, and they have a very strong defensive coordinator. They have a very weak head coach. They have a very weak head coach in Mike McCarthy. And in Mike McCarthy, there's mistakes that are being made. There's clock management mistakes. There's play calling mistakes that he's overlooking that are wrong, okay? The Cowboys are not a Super Bowl caliber team. You see, I don't believe the hype. I don't watch pre- and post-game shows, any game, because the world loves the Dallas Cowboys. And when the Cowboys are doing good, the world thinks they're the greatest organization ever and going to win it all and be unbeatable. I don't. I look at the team as a whole. They're a good team. They're a better team than they've displayed and put on the field in years. And that's what the hype is about. I say the names we know, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, Cooper. Then you add the names CeeDee Lamb and Diggs and Gregory and then Wilson and Schultz. But you start adding new names, and this is a great organization that has the ability to get to a Super Bowl. But New England sucks. The Patriots are not good. They're not a good team anymore. They were a great team. They're not good anymore. They're below average. They're what their records say. They have no running game. They have no wide receivers. They have a rookie quarterback. Their offensive line is garbage. Okay? They're not a good team. So I have no excitement to coming here and beat this team and it be that close. I'm embarrassed. Because this team, if this team is what the media says they are, if this team is what the hype says they are, because they're the world-famous Dallas Cowboys, then the Cowboys should have won by 14 points at least. They went back and forth. They made some mistakes. And because of their athletes are why they won, the Cowboys have great athletes on their team. What the Patriots are lacking, the Cowboys have. They have great playmakers, great athletes. They're a very great athletic team. But Mike McCarthy is a heel. He's an Achilles heel. And he will be the reason that they don't succeed this year. And for that reason, I don't believe the Cowboys will be in the Super Bowl this year. I still see teams in the NFC that are better than them all around, offensively, defensively, as well as coach. But are we excited to come and win this game? Yeah. The record is misconstrued when you say, oh, they haven't won in 35 years. The Cowboys have only played them 6 times in that span. These two teams don't meet that much. So the time and duration of not beating this team, and why was it so world-renowned? Because the Patriots were the top team for the last 20-plus seasons. And the Patriots and their fans think that they have a chance of being where the Cowboys are. The Patriots wish they were there regardless, because the Patriots' better days are now behind them. And they still could not surpass the Dallas Cowboys in their persona and in their prestige. So it's just a jealousy because the Cowboys are coming out of their worst era. And New England, during their best era in their Super Bowl run, could not surpass the prestigiousness of this Dallas Cowboys organization. So the jealousy is like an ex-girlfriend, like a woman. Like, pull up your skirt and deal with reality, because the reality is the Cowboys are a phenom. They're not just a team. And any person who understands the NFL knows that. They're not just a Dallas Cowboys football team. It's an organization. It's a phenom. So that's the excitement. The Patriots' highest ticket was Tom Brady coming back. The next highest was Dallas Cowboys coming into town, because it's a circus. It's a show. And it's great for the NFL. It was an exciting atmosphere. It was adrenaline. It was amazing. And it was a good game. But don't hype on me like I think, oh, my team is almighty, because I'm smart and I'm an educated fan. And unlike the bandwagons that live in Foxborough, because it was, when was the last time you heard a team yell another player's name in your stadium? Because Coop felt like he was at home. And when the Cowboys scored, it felt like a home game. The persona and that invincibility is over, like when Mike Tyson lost it. So now the Patriots will go back to mediocrity. They'll go back to where they were. They'll go back to, you know, and the fact that it's push and pull with Tom Brady, because now it looks like it was the GOAT. Now it looks like it was him who brought this championship, because now the Patriots are 2-4, and Belichick is not looking like the genius he was. So all that anger, all that animosity, all that jealousy, all that, you know, negativity, it means nothing. It's just a bunch of jealous people, bandwagon fans, with a weak team that's not good. So that's where all that comes from. But in reality, the Cowboys are a good team. But I don't think they can get past Green Bay. I don't think they can get past the Rams. I don't think they can get past who else you want to name over there in the NFC? There's one more team I think that's really good over there in the
Buccaneers?
NFC right now. It's flipping my head.
Oh, you said Tampa Bay, right?
I don't know.
The Rams?
I mean, I think,
you,
yeah, I don't think they can get past
the Rams. Are you talking about New Orleans?
Cardinals? How about the Cardinals?
You know, Cardinals, there you go. I don't think they can get past the Rams and the Cardinals. I think those two teams are much better than the Cowboys all around. Tampa Bay, I think those two teams are pretty much even, because I'm not a big fan of Tampa Bay right now either. I think they're okay as well, but I see a lot of chinks in that armor as well. But Arizona and the Rams right now, I think, are the NFC favorites. Okay, Cowboys will get in the playoffs by winning their division, which is weak. But after that, what will they do with the show? Do they have a chance of winning? Yeah, but no, I don't see them winning a Super Bowl this year. No, I think Mike McCarthy needs to go.
Go ahead, Mike.
It was an amazing game. I mean, I'm going to – that quarterback over there in New England is going to be good. I don't – you know, he's not great, but he's a goddamn rookie. He's going to be great. I think he's solid. I think he makes great decisions. I think that – you know, I don't want to say Bill Belichick's days are behind him, because I still think he's a mastermind. That's my opinion. But he doesn't have the tools right now. I think the Patriots' issue is their draft picks for the last 10 years have been horrible. They don't have, quote-unquote, a great farm system and a great draft. Everyone says fire Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones has been making amazing draft picks for the last 5 years. His draft picks are hitting, okay? And so
he's not really making
the
them,
chase, you know? I mean, but they say he runs everything. He runs everything. Well, if he runs everything, he's doing a pretty damn good job. Because these guys are hitting, you know? So I think that – I'm sorry. It was, like I said, it was a great game.
He wanted Johnny Manziel. He wanted Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I remember that move. New England has nothing to be ashamed of. They played outstanding. And any team that thinks they're going to come into Foxborough and blow this team away, Buffalo's not going to do it. Buffalo's not going to
do
it.
Can I go? Can I go before you go, Galen? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
So, Mike, the reason why I kind of uproared, because I thought I was going to, like, get people going. I thought it was fun. So I wasn't really, like I was just yelling, just to yell. So I wasn't mad. I was mad at, you know, that – honestly, I watched the game on Sunday with – it was weird because I watched it and I had the anxiety. When you've been in Super Bowl games that you watch, especially us Patriot fans because we're always in close Super Bowls. You watch the games and you have that anxiety of like, oh, my God, this guy – like you just want him to make a stop, like, you know. You just want your team to win.
Yeah,
and I had that anxiety the whole time because I was like, oh, my God, Trayvon Diggs. Pick six, like it's over, and then Mac Jones does the unthinkable. It was a deep shot to Kendrick Bourne.
Yep.
And I looked at, I was like, oh, I never clap when I'm watching a game. I was watching it by myself, but I was clapping. I was like, I don't care.
I'm clapping.
And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, all right, well, there's still too much time on the clock because it is what it is. And what I liked about Dak is it's kind of like a root canal. It's kind of like it just digs deep, just keeps digging deep and getting to that root. He just keeps going down. Even third and 25, he gets a shot to Cedric Wilson or Noah Brown? I can't remember who it was. One of those
two.
These guys, Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson. It annoys me because not only were they carving up our defense, but they're not getting me CeeDee Lamb's points. So that's another thing for a fantasy day for another time. But at the same time, it was annoying. And I was like, oh, my God, they're beating my team and they're using these schmucks. And then Zeke Elliott was kind of like carving them up all the time. I thought at times he was getting tackled, but they weren't actually wrapping him up. And I was like, what the hell are you guys doing? As a Pats fan, I get it, Mike. I mean, we went through different stages because I'm not saying I'm younger, but I'm just saying you guys, you went through the whole phase of the Dallas Cowboys being great for so long. And then I was born in 88. I was born in 1988. So obviously the first year I started watching football was 95. So kind of all I've known is kind of Parcells, Bledsoe.
So, right.
So that's all I know. So I don't know anything else. So I can't really say about 85 about the Patriots. So I don't know the sucky years, essentially. I was a kid. I was a baby. So all I know is greatness and, you know, winning and Belichick, Kraft, and everything. So when I see my first team, well, how much time do we have? 4 minutes. My first team I liked actually was the Cowboys, and that's a huge fact. But I do want to give some respect to the Dallas Cowboys because they do look like a real team. They're definitely going to win the NFC East, which is not really a huge feat because that division just sucks. But at the same time, they actually look like a team that can actually get a second, third, maybe first seed, depending on how far the Arizona Cardinals, Packers, and
Buccaneers
fall.
They don't have any chance. They're going to need that bye week.
The thing is, there's only one bye week now. There's only one team that gets a bye week, so it's kind of
if they don't get it, then if they don't get it, they don't have a chance. They need it.
Yeah, so because then you got to go on the road. Yeah, it's gonna. Well, if you get the third, if you get the second seed, so just get the second seed, and then you can do two games in a row. But at the same time, you still get I just want to give it. You know, I sound bitter, but I'm not after a few days away from it all, I'm not bitter. The Cowboys were definitely a better team. The team is definitely they're not bought. Obviously, they're all homegrown talent. They're Dak, CD, Zeke, Dalton Schultz.
That's all guys.
DeMarcus
all
Lawrence, Trevon Diggs. All these guys are all guys they drafted, except for Amari Cooper. That's about it. Yeah, except for Amari Cooper is like the one guy, but everything is homegrown. That's how you want to build a team, and that's what the Patriots probably should have done. They should have kind of, you know, they drafted Jacoby Brissett before they drafted Dak Prescott, which is ridiculous. That still hurts. They drafted the same draft. They drafted Jacoby Brissett over Dak Prescott, which gross.
Well, yeah, but you had to go, and he's still playing today. So I mean, think about it. Prescott's what? 5 years in, and you still got to go playing. So, I mean, that wasn't a move anybody would have did.
I mean,
you know, I wouldn't have grabbed that guy.
I want $70 million a year. I'm like, yeah, good job.
So just real quick, I'm going to go back to a point that Mike made, and I'm just going to end it with this. But you talk about the Cowboys not totally being satisfied. You think there's still a lot of room for improvement. Tampa Bay, I completely agree with you there. They don't look like the same team from a year ago. But this last mention here, don't forget, Patrick Mahomes and those Kansas City Chiefs, that offense.
Oh, they look terrible.
It wasn't that long ago. They were feared week in and week out by their opponents. Now, 3-3. Good for last in the AFC West, and now sitting at 1-3 in the conference. as a record. It doesn't look like.
I knew it. Yeah, I told you.
It doesn't look like they're just that darling or that fear, that beast of
they
a
want,
team.
They want everyone. The Patrick Mahomes family sucks.
It's pretty much all the time that we got tonight, guys. It was a great show. And, thanks, guys.
We're grand.